You're listening to audio from 102.5 The Bone.
Other one. The one that matters. Every now and then.
I'm going to see if you remember it.
Come on, man. What am I, an a-hole? Drinking more hot tea. More hot tea. Making it happen, folks. I'm going to be better by tomorrow.
The show's done.
I'm going to go see Dr. Susan. I'm going to go visit her at home tonight.
Oh, you remembered, ladies and gentlemen. Johnny B. remembered.
Damn right. Once in a while on a Thursday, we get to talk to one of my best pals. The greatest movie critic in the history of all of Tampa entertainment and some parts of Riverview. Let's go to the hotline, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Follow him on social media at TM Pal Media. It's TM Pal. What's up, buddy?
Out here in Riverhood.
Yeah! Gateway to Gibson 10.
South Side.
Yeah, what's up, bud?
Nothing much. Yeah, I hope I'm going to be on here a little bit more now because it does seem like the movies are picking back up. Actually, the week Ian hit, I hadn't had anything for a while. I had three movie screenings in 1 week, and I was like so excited. Like, oh, cool, we're going to get back to the movies. And Ian canceled every single one of them. It was Amsterdam, Smile, and Bros. All three of them got canceled on me.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, I understand from what I've heard of all of those. Well, I heard Smile was very scary, but I've heard really bad things about the other two movies.
Oh, so. I heard Smile was trash.
Did you?
Yeah.
I talked to two people that saw it, and they said that they had to, like, sleep with the lights on for 2 days.
Mm.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard mixed things about Smile. Like, I know some people say it's, like, just awesome, and some people say it's kind of like a ripoff of It Follows. I will say, I did really want to see it.
Yeah.
It just happened to screen the Wednesday when the hurricane was rolling right in on us. So I totally understood why they canceled it and why we couldn't do it.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, I still have not seen Bros. They sent me a digital screener. Once again, they sent it during the hurricane. I'd lost power at some point, plus I was prepping. I did want to see that just because, you know, I'm a movie guy, and there is some significance to that film.
Yeah.
And I did say, like, hey, you know, people got to show up for this one if it's going to matter, because if they don't show up, they won't make these again. And obviously people didn't show up. And I know Billy Eichner, who I know, I heard you guys talking that night about this. I like Billy Eichner. I found him funny. Billy on the Street was funny. He was good Parks and Rec. But it's so weird sometimes. You know, I saw Elizabeth Banks do the same thing after the Charlie's Angels movie. They just start blaming things of why it failed. Now, do I think there's probably some people that flat out were not going to go see Bros? Abso-freaking-lutely, you know? But I do think it was a marketing problem. I think it was a time of year problem. I don't think they got their message out enough of what it was about.
Right.
I think there was a lot of things just going against it from like just a marketing standpoint besides the content. I think anything struggles this time of year because, like we said before, all we care about is football this time of year. We're not really in a movie phase, but that will start to change even this weekend. I know that Halloween Ends will be in theaters, but you also can watch it at home on the Peacock. It'll start tonight at midnight if it's not there already. So, you know, it'll be weird to see how that one performs because the last Halloween movie, Halloween Kills, I mean, you know, like the title says, there were some good kills in it. There's some great Michael Myers action in it. But some of the story was just flat out dumb. Yeah. I mean, it really was with the evil dies tonight. And it almost got campy at the end. You can tell with this one, Halloween Ends, that they're trying to do something different. They take some unique creative choices with their storyline. And I can't talk about it too much because I would just end up spoiling some things. I will say that once again, instead of kind of telling a Michael Myers story, they're kind of telling a story about how what Michael Myers did in that first film, and even in the 1970, 8 film, how that kind of affected the town, how his kind of evil doings created like a dark cloud over the town, and how it affected the people and caused them to react where there was, you know, victims that weren't actually victims of him, just how they were affected by all the actions. And they try to do that again in this one. And I do like that concept. I just don't always think the execution is done very well. And also maybe it's a little bit of expectations because you're there to see like a scary slasher horror film. And, you know, I'll be honest with you that something really, really crazy happens in like the first 10 minutes of the movie. But then it's pretty light for like an hour of, you know, kills and actions and what you see. And they explore this kind of unique, weird storyline with another character in the story. And I mean, it's going to be divisive what some people think. It almost tries to be like elevated horror, Johnny. You know, they always talk about elevated horror. It's not like your jump scares. It's not your gore. It's, you know, the Hereditaries. It's, you know, the Witch. It's all these
making
new
you,
type of
making
horror.
Making you like uncomfortable in a real dark kind of way. Yeah.
Dark, and also maybe make you think a little more. I don't know if that totally worked for me at times, because it's just, like I said, it may have been my expectations of what I was expecting for a Halloween film. Now, the last 45 minutes, they do pick up, and then things, you know, get crazy again, and you get the action you're expecting from that. But I am wondering what people will think of what goes on in that first hour of the film and how it drives some of the plot in the second film. It's definitely some unique creative choices that I was not expecting from a film like this, but I don't know if it works in a film like this. At times I thought I was almost watching another movie inside of a Halloween movie.
Now,
I know some of those old Halloween sequels, like Season of the Witch and everything, remember they explored kind of different storylines that didn't always revolve around Michael Myers.
Yeah, that was such a bad movie.
Yeah, this new trilogy, I think the focus still need to be on Michael and Laurie. And at times in this film, it's not there, but it does rev up in the second half. And I will say there is closure in the film.
Now, how many sequels until Jamie Lee Curtis just dies of old age?
Well, I think they're done. I think she's done. This was her swan song going out. I'm not going to spoil anything what happens, but okay. I do think in terms of moving forward, I think they have done what they're going to do with these two characters in this storyline. Now, remember, they ignored all the other sequels except the original with this trilogy. That trilogy just connects to that first film.
If she's getting to the age where he's going to be chasing her, she's going to fall down the stairs, and it's going to be a little Life Alert ad that pops up because, you know, she can't get up. It's not cool anymore. Nobody wants to see an old broad fighting a dude in a mask. We want to see the young, hot, pre-10 Jamie Lee Curtis. I don't want to see the great-grandmother Jamie Lee Curtis, the one that eats yogurt so she poops properly. I don't want that lady.
Is Michael Myers a monster, or is he a man?
He's a man.
Okay, so he's probably about the same age as she. Like, he's old, too, then.
Yeah, man.
He's going to die old.
He's older.
Soon.
He's actually older.
Okay.
Yeah, he's older in the storyline. And
ironically, this movie came out the same week that all the Medicare, you're able to renew. It's annual enrollment period starts tomorrow, right when Michael Myers is trying to kill old-ass Jamie Lee Curtis. It's
convenient.
Yes, they're doing it on purpose.
And I will say about this version of Michael Myers also in this film, the one thing I will say that this group with Dan McBride, Jody Hill, and David Gordon Green have done is, you know, after, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis was like just beat to hell in this first film of this trilogy, that second film, one of my problems with it is she was sidelined, you know, in the hospital bed for most of the film. I thought he took away the, like, one of the most important dynamic. But they had said, like, hey, you realize, like, he had stabbed her and just beat the crap out of her. She wasn't going to bounce back.
Right. And,
but this version of Michael Myers in this film, he's been beaten up. He's been set on fire. He's been shot up. So, and he, like I said, he's an old man. So we're maybe seeing like a slower version of Michael Myers in terms of, you know, Father Time catching up with him as well. So they do explore some unique ideas about this where he's just not, you know, like Will said, 75 years old. He's still Superman. What's going on here?
Right.
So at the end of the day, I still think it's this time of year. People are going to want to see horror movies, and they definitely like Halloween on Halloween.
Yeah.
So I still think people are going to, you know, check it out and see how it goes. But I do expect it to be very, very divisive, because when I left the movie last night, I didn't even know what to think about it. I'm like, it was just so odd and weird at times. I couldn't wrap my head around it. I don't think it's a terrible movie. I'm not sure if it's a good movie either, but maybe in some ways I kind of respect what they were trying to do with it to be something different. But at the same time, I'm like, man, you kind of still got to give us a Halloween movie at the end of the day. And they really don't start doing that until about the last, you know, 45 minutes.
Now, besides Halloween Ends and Smile, are there other big Halloween movies that are coming out that are being released, this month for us to even be interested in? I know there's series. I was talking to you off air. I just saw today Netflix released, I think it's called The Midnight Club, and it's made by the same folks that did Hill House and The Bly Manor. So I was like, okay, Bly Manor, not as good as Hill House, but this one, I have no idea what it's about. It's like, looks like a bunch of teenagers And it's scary. That's all I know. So is there any movies popping off? I have no idea. Besides Halloween.
Well, besides Halloween, there's something else that's out there, too, that's not a movie and technically not a television series either. So Disney and the MCU on Disney Plus did their first of their Marvel specials. We've been talking about how we're going to get these, like, one-shot episode Marvel specials that'll be probably like an hour long. They won't be a feature-length film, but they'll be longer than 30 minutes. We'll get one, a holiday special in December that's going to be all focused around Guardians of the Galaxy, and James Gunn directed that. So we're going to get that. But for this month, which is streaming right now on Disney Plus, they have Werewolf by Night. Now, he's like a side character, you know, real small character, kind of lives in that horror side of Marvel. But that's the side of Marvel they really haven't explored yet. They have a really cool, like, horror side with Man-Thing and Werewolf by Night. Obviously, we've seen Blade. Blade lives in that universe. And even Doctor Strange in the comics.
Right.
But if you ever watch Werewolf by Night, check it out. I mean, it's great. I mean, it's presented like a universal old school monster movie, you know, even like the credits, it's in black and white, but the cast is awesome. The story's awesome. Imagine like a Tales from the Crypt episode, but it's with Marvel. And I will say for the MCU, lots of bloodshed, lots of gore. I mean, definitely, you know, more violent than what we expected from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But the story is awesome. And most people I know who have watched it were like, man, that is awesome. So, I mean, if you haven't watched Werewolf by Night on Disney Plus, check it out. I mean, even if you're not familiar with the characters, they do a good job of setting everything up. And it makes me excited for these specials that they're going to do every year, Marvel has said, whether it's the Halloween special or the Christmas special. So I think they did a, you know, big success. If anything, my one gripe about Werewolf by Night is that it should have been on the big screen. And we probably should have had maybe 30 or 40 more minutes of content in it. I really think it could have made it on the big screen. I just think they were concerned because when you do smaller side characters, you don't do the big ones that people are familiar with. That gets studio executives a little worried. But, yeah, if you're not going to stream something like Halloween Ends, I mean, definitely check out Werewolf by Night. Like I said, it's only 56 minutes long, 54 minutes long. It's a quick, easy watch, but it's really cool, especially if you're a fan of those old school Universal classic monsters or Tales from the Crypt or the Marvel.
That's got Eugenie Bondrian in it. She lives in St. Pete. Does she star in it, or is she the supporting character?
One of the supporting people. Okay. Yeah, one of the supporting people. I mean, and that's the thing. It's not like huge like stars in it, but all the characters are great in it. And like I said, just the presentation of it. Like Johnny, like this is why I say I wish it would have been on the big screen. Like it's presented in black and white, and it has like that old school palette look to it.
Right.
But you can also see the cigarette burns in the print, like from like if you were watching an old school like
grindhouse movie.
See like the black dots. Yeah, they're hidden in there. You know where it was. If for those that know, that's how they knew that the reel was about to change for the film, and that's why they had to do it. I mean, Fight Club taught us that too. If you didn't know, they brought up the same thing. So, but it's really well done. Really cool presentation. And like I said, stuff with like She-Hulk and stuff like Werewolf by Night, you can tell, and even them just putting like Logan and Deadpool on Disney Plus, you can tell that Disney, no matter what people said, they're maybe trying to get towards more adult content and giving us Deadpool. And I think that's going to be interesting with Hugh Jackman. I know some people were upset because Logan was such a great send-off for that character, and I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
But come on.
This is original 102.5 The Bone On Demand Audio.